CJW Mobile.
KJ4, CTD Mobile.
Well, Ram, I haven't heard you on here in a month of Sundays.
They're DX these days.
They're at the, where they're flying F-16s.
That way.
Chris, he was up here not too long ago. K4FLL, Chris, remember him?
I do. But, you know, frankly, I don't actually turn on the radio that much anymore. I'm mostly down on HF now.
Not too long ago from the Keys. He spent a week up here, I think, with his dad and somebody doing some work for somebody else up here. But he was saying he was down there and he could see those F-16s you're talking about from where he was working.
Yeah, some days I really wish I actually had triple muff earplugs for those things, because they can get loud when you're working on the end of the runway.
I do that long rollout and then they go vertical and I could get noisy.
First time they did that, I didn't know that they were taking off. I had a headache for 3 days and immediately went out and doubled my ear production.
I'm using that too when I use the blower and the chainsaw and stuff like that. I've got a new wood chipper too, and that thing is really loud. And yeah, it's painful if you don't wear it. I guess the older you get, the more sensitive you become to it.
I'm like, you know, already deaf at fan hurts, so too many computer fans. How are you doing these days?
I'm at the end of my second maintenance period, which means no tumors, all gone. Hope this one holds out longer than last time. It only held out for one quarter. This time we're hoping it's going to hold out for a year.
Here, David.
Well, thank you. It's good to not to have to do chemo. Having to do chemo is a pits, man.
Yeah. So, what's he doing on the radio these days? Anything?
Just the writing code when I'm not chipping wood in the backyard. Doing a bunch of yard work and stuff like that, housework, yard work, stuff that I didn't do while I was employed, because I just said I'd wait until I was retired. So trying to get caught up on a bunch of that stuff, but also trying to get back into flying, because I don't want to die a slave to my house.
Like RC flying or actual flying?
I don't know that I could pass the medical for full scale. I might be able to pass it, I don't know. But RC, most definitely.
Not doing any RC flying myself these days. Just too many projects. I'm working on a renovation in Clemson on one of those apartments, and they told me to pull a wall. It's only going to run you $7,000.
Oops, where? Where's that got to be replaced?
Over in Clemson, and it is a bottom supporting wall.
You know, you got to hire somebody to do that.
Peoples.
I had to have my front porch replaced. It's on the north side of the house, and it never got enough sunshine to dry out a lot, so the wood, underlying wood, after 30 years of staying moist a lot, it gave up. And I hired people to do that too. I wasn't about to rebuild all that.
Yes, is that they took a house and they converted it to three apartments. And in the crawl space underneath, they did not put up moisture barrier or anything. It literally was just OSB, the black OSB that has like a tar in it or something. And that was the only water protection. And then the mud just kind of slid down to the wall and filled up with water.
He has a lot of that kind of work too. And he's telling me that they used to treat wood with arsenic. They don't do that anymore. And the new kind of treatment isn't as good as the old kind of treatment was. So the wood just doesn't last as long as it used to. That's just the way it is. So you can get a lot more of that than you used to have to put up with.
It's supposed to be popping up the wall and ripping all the old studs out on Monday. So, gonna have a fun day on Monday. I'm going to go over there and see what they're up to and look at the apartment directly above them and make sure nothing's gone wrong there. But I tell you what, renovating these kind of apartments at $50,000 a piece, and then it takes you forever to make the money back.
Works. Hey, changing the subject, are you doing anything with that new kind of ham mesh network? Remember when we did the ham mesh network with Dan and Greer? What do they call it? Meshtastic. That's a new one that's coming out. And they say that there's a node up on, what's the name of that other mountain? Mount Mitchell. Have you done anything with that? Have you looked into it?
Orlando for the Ham Fest, we were doing a lot at the Ham Fest. And I looked at it, and, you know, the problem with it is that it just no range, and, you know, you've got to have a ton of these things in order to actually build a whole network out. So basically, and so it just doesn't seem to work well for what it is.
Same problems we had when we were trying to do it ourselves with Dan, with our, you know, 90 dB gain antennas on 2.4 gigahertz. Still wasn't enough. I was in my room with transmitting effective radiated power of 90 watts at 2.4 gigahertz, and that's just like, that's getting close to microwave.
Definitely, and you know, I mean, it's so hit and miss. And now, it may be great if you're, you know, like everybody, you know, half the people in your neighborhood had one. Then you might be able to build enough of a mesh out, but it's really kind of thing.
Really scratchy. It's because I'm over near Bob Jones, and I'm in the shadow of Bears Mountain. It'll take me a little while to get out of it, but let me know if it's too frustrating to work with, and we'll wait a little while. But basically, it was just too much positive thinking. I was thinking that they had some of the problems worked out with the ham mesh network, but I guess not.
Well, you know, it seems to all be on the RF side, and there's still not a lot of support code. It's sort of like AFERS, but on a higher frequency that has less range.
Repeater. Give me a couple of minutes so I can get further down White Hampton and get out from the shadow of Harris Mountain. W4DJW.
Here is CTD. Where am I? Somewhere on Whitehorse, I don't know.
CTD, W4DJW. Passing Dunkin' Donuts on White Hampton. Is it any better now?
A lot better.
In the shadow back there. I thought sometimes I can suffer. If propagation is really good, you can suffer through it. But if propagation isn't at its peak, then it's a no-go. Anyway, there was something else I was going to ask you. Oh, David, two things. The Flex Aurora, I don't know if you've seen that yet or not, if you've looked at that. They were showing pictures of it at the Dayton Ham Fest. And then Kenwood's new radio comes out this quarter. They showed pictures of that. Have you seen it? The new Kenwood 750, I think is what it is. Have you seen that one?
Orlando, they had a board off that had the new Kenwood, but they did not have one on site. And Pearson did tell me about the new Flex. And, you know, 500 watts, hey, that's great. Can't afford that kind of price. I was hoping the Yaesu FTX1 would be a little bit more of a radio than it actually is. I was a little disappointed when they finally came out with the full specs. Because I've been looking for a new HF rig. So I may be I've been vacillating. There's my 10-letter word for the day. Between the 705 and the Yaesu, and Yaesu, they could have done better. All they needed to do was change up their Wi-Fi Bluetooth chip that they don't have.
Price point on the Aurora, and when it's going to be, they kind of hinted around that it was going to be released right after the Dayton Ham Fest, but they did not say a word about the price point.
So it's going to be a lot higher than my budget. My budget's only about, you know, $1,500, $1,600. Because I need something to replace my, I would like to do POA and summits and stuff like that, but I don't really, the only radio I have that I can do that with is the ICOM 7000.
the chat group that I was reading up on, they were throwing out the number 10K, which is, you know, 2,500 more than the 7K for the 60, or for the 8,000 series, I think it was. I can't remember. But it is 500 watts. I don't know, though. I like to do low power more than I like to do high power.
In the same boat, you know, for a while there, I did actually have a legal limit amp, and I used it like a grand total of four times, and I got rid of it, because I don't need that kind of power. You know, I prefer to operate 100 watts or less.
5 watts. If I can get by with 5 watts, I'm happy. If I have to bump it up to 20 watts, it's like, eh, I don't, you know, that's... Or when you can do like Moses and part the waters with a 100-foot tower and a full-size beam and 1.5 kilowatts, what's the point at that point? Just pick up the telephone and call them.
But, you know, that when I was in Orlando, I went down there with a single purpose, and that was to get a mobile a portable HF antenna, and I picked up a buddy pole, and that's worked pretty well. And, you know, and to look at radios, go, ooh, wow, I wish I had money to afford that, but, no, I'm good at 100 watts or less.
Antenna anymore either, HF. My super loop came down a long time ago, and during Helene, my mystery antenna got stretched to the max, and when it finally popped, it coiled all up around the base of my VHF 2-meter antenna, even though it wasn't really that close to it. It just happened to snag on it, and I got to get a ladder and get up about 35, 40 feet up in the air to get that thing, and I'm in no hurry to do that. I might just put up my super loop and get a new mystery antenna.
I am actually really happy with my Carolina Wyndham. It does great. Not pointed exactly the best of directions, but, you know, it works. I can get the grease, and I can hear Japan. I can't talk to them.
It's hard for me, too. Plus, the Philippines and Thailand, those are exactly on the other side of the earth. I've hit each one of those maybe a handful of times, like less than a half a dozen times for Thailand. Thailand's, you know, if you go completely around the world, it's the largest diameter you can from where we are on the earth right now, you're going to hit Thailand. And I think I got them once. And I got Japan maybe a dozen times, and the Philippines maybe three or four times. That's it. That's still challenging. All right? That's why I like 5 watts to 20 watts, because it's a challenge. It's not something you can just pick up the telephone and call them. it's a lot more rewarding.
I hit New Zealand and Australia once each, I think. But it was real, real tough getting in there.
History was oriented. The guy that is the author or the creator of the Genesis radio, I was talking to him, and he said, while you're building your amp, just put your exciter on the air and leave it on whisper overnight and see if you can hit me overnight. And it hit him probably 30 times overnight in Australia, and that's like a little over a hundredth or maybe 500ths of a watt.
I like to kid people. I'm like, yeah, I can hit a freighter off the coast of South Africa on 5 watts. Can you do that with your cell phone?
When you hear MM, Maritime Mobile, that's what's rewarding. When you can get something like that, and you're doing 5 to 15 watts or something like that, and they're doing a little, maybe the same, and their antenna is severely restricted because they're on a boat. Yeah, that's where you can feel a sense of accomplishment.
I'm with like 15 watts PSK. I think that's as well as I remember. He was my first Maritime Mobile station I ever actually hit.
A lot easier when FT8 and all, well, actually JT65 all the way up to FT8 and FT4. When all this came out, the bandwidth on PSK just opened up. I mean, there's just plenty of bandwidth now. You can talk on PSK like you could in the early days before it got so crowded you couldn't even use it anymore.
The problem with FT8, which I use mainly just to see where I can hear, is the fact that it's always the same stations. I mean, every once in a while you'll get a new station or a POTA that you want to help out, but for the most part, it's all the same people.
It's just so limited. You can't say whatever you want. Like, I could talk about ducks in a pond or area control airplane. I could talk about anything I wanted to talk about. With STA, it's not the same.
Well, I'm a conversational protocol. Pearson likes GSA call, but GSA call has similar problems in that most of them are just monitoring stations and just sending out heartbeats. They're not actually talking on the frequency. He's moved on to that thing that Windlink's using, VARA or whatever it is.
Tell me about that. I have not tried that stuff out yet. It looked interesting, but too many irons in the fire. I haven't tried it.
I'm trying to move everything to Linux and get off Windows completely. There doesn't seem to be a Linux native format of that modem. And I'm sure you can stick Wine on there, but then you've just reintegrated Microsoft-originated code or their philosophy on code into your Linux system, and it's like, yeah.
The Linux version of what? What's the software? Oh, okay. You can't use the that SDR radio that you can configure. What, the GNU radio? You can't use that?
Learn how to actually build a modem.
You've done harder.
Really true, but there is a lot of complex math in there, and, you know, I don't do calculus well. KJ4, CTZ Mobile.
This is, you can go to get help with that kind of stuff. There's YouTube channels, there's forums, there's plenty of stuff if you want to do that. Plus, there's the guys at Taper. I don't know if you, they were on that, they're still evidently a thing. They were on at Dayton as well.
As is the VAR modem, the protocol is actually closed source. And I think that's probably why there's not something on Linux. I don't know that the spec for it has actually been released. I don't know that it's a public spec.
I'm on it. That's kind of like D-Star when it first came out. If it's going to be proprietary, it's not amateur radio.
And it's like, you know, now I do know that they're doing, I tried free DV, which is digital radio on HF, and it uses the Kodak 2 modem. And yeah, I could hear a little bit. There was no way I was going to talk.
To play around with, I don't know. But there's just so many things you can do. I wouldn't waste my time on something that is proprietary. I wouldn't. No way to do it. That's one of the reasons we discussed buying a new repeater and just use one of those proprietary digital modes, but they're not interoperable. It's just no. Let's not do that. Let's not contribute to amateur radio going down that path.
I've never bothered to buy a digital radio for ham. Is there's three different standards, and you know, if I buy one radio and nobody else in the area has it, or very few people do, well, what's the point? And I don't want to use the internet to connect to somebody else that I can actually talk to. That just seems a little non-ham related.
Wait, I mean, I got one that'll do digital too, and I've never even used it on it. It's not, I didn't get it for the digital. The digital just came along with the package. But I think that's the way most hams are. And it's kind of like once you've used it once, yeah, no big deal. There's no incentive to use it again.
It's like David has a, Pearson has a hotspot, one of those little Raspberry Pi hotspot things, that'll, digital mode you're going to be on, and then you can talk to other people. And but if you have a different radio, then you got to reselect which mode you're going to be on, and all, it's just, and I wish they would come out with something a little bit more open.
Radio is all about, always has been about, this open source, open communications. The FCC won't even let you put anything up there that they don't know how to untangle. Anyway, I am about home, so good talking to you. Stay safe. Wear your earplugs. KJ4CTD, W4DJW.
I just got to the airport. We'll talk to you later, Dave. KJ4CTD, short time mobile.